Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support.
There we go. I love Apple Pay. So quick. Ordered my Black Mood shirt. Just got it now. Really cool shirt. Actually got an autographed because their new CD is out. And Adelita's Way. I'm a big Adelita's Way fan. And Rick DeJesus, the lead singer, I've had him on my show. In fact, I should call Rick, try to get him on again now. And I'm hoping that they get a South Florida date. So they were coming to the west coast of Florida. And I went to go check them out. And the Black Moods were opening up, and I got to meet them and hung out with them after the show because I was backstage with Rick DeJesus from Adelita's Way. And so he introduced me to the Black Moods because I asked him, hey, man, can you introduce me to the guys? Because they were phenomenal. So I became a big fan of the Black Moods, had them on the show. I got to get them on also. They've got a new CD out, and I'm hoping they come out. So I ended up going on the site now after I saw the post on Twitter of their new shirt. So I bought the new shirt. I saw that they had the new CD autographed. So boom, got one of those ready to go. It's pretty quick. In a 2-minute break, you get to do all of that. I love it. All right, let's talk a little football. Marcel Louis Jacques is ready to go with our myedgedrink.com Miami Dolphins report.
Time to get the edge on the Miami Dolphins with our Edge Energy Drink Miami Dolphins Report. When you want the energy drink that's delicious and smooth with zero aftertaste, you can only order Edge Energy Drink at myedgedrink.com. That's myedgedrink.com. Here's the ESPN Dolphin Insider, Marcel Louis-Jacques.
All righty. There you are. How you feeling, my man?
How you doing, man?
How is Tyreek?
It was cool, man. Had a little conversation with him. I was supposed to talk to Jake. Jake was on Superstar Time a little bit, but they actually just started recording the podcast down at Soul Runner, taking off. I got to say, man, look, I don't know a whole lot about Jake Paul other than, you know, you either love him or hate him, but he's a pretty big dude. Like, as far as he's not like heavyweight, I'm not talking 6'3", 240 pounds, but probably about my height, and I'm 6'1", 6'2". Pretty stocky guy. Like I can see where the boxing training has kicked in. I guess I can say, like, bigger than I thought. But
you haven't seen him in the ring when he's in the ring.
I haven't seen him in real life.
You can tell. You can tell he's not a stick pole, bro. I mean,
no, he's not a stick. But I was like, wow, yeah, he's pretty like tall. I was like, he's a pretty big dude. I didn't talk to him.
Well, but if you're going to get in the world of fighting, if you want to step in the ring and fight with people,
you can't be
you better
small,
have some
yeah.
guns. You know what I'm saying?
You cannot be small. But it was cool. Long line of people. I think it was kind of a surprise that Jake was going to be here today, because if not, I feel like this mall would have shut down. There's already a pretty large group outside. I don't know if they're necessarily letting people in until, like, we'll call it 1:30 or 2. But there's a lot of people out there already. Heavy security and police presence too. That was shocking, man. I was like, damn, they're expecting hell to come down here. Like, it was about maybe 7-8 police officers outside the store just in case.
So they were way more prepared than they were at the Capitol on the 6th. I got you. Okay. Hey man, you threw up the volley. I had to slam it. What do you want me to do, bro? I mean, come on.
I feel like I threw the volley and you hit it to the other side of the court. You shot it at the other hoop, bro.
It was a Serena slam right there, baby. Okay, that was a Serena slam. That's how special that slam was. It was a Serena slam. All right. Your thoughts on Skylar Thompson. What do you think?
Hey, man, what have we been saying? What have I been saying on this show for 2-3 weeks? The kid can throw the ball. Like, his processing speed, his processing up here has sped up rapidly over the last 2 weeks. the first day of practice, this man mishandled three snaps. It wasn't bad snaps. He just dropped three snaps. He's reading plays after the snap. He's trying to read defense after the fact, and it wasn't good. And he's really been one of the most improved players at training camp, along with Trill Williams, which is why it was such a shame to watch Trill go down with the torn ACL on Saturday. But I think Skylar Thompson, I mean, obviously there are some throws that he probably shouldn't have made. There are some times maybe he was trying to make something happen before, you know, trying to make too much happen and forcing the issue almost through. It would have been a hell of a pick for Tampa, but that's probably a ball that you gotta get on top of. Took a couple sacks deep in territory, which isn't ideal. One of them, Larnell Coleman, got bodied by a 240-pound outside linebacker. That's not Thompson's fault. And I think the second sack, our boy Tanner Connor and Mohamed Sanu ran into each other on their route. You can watch Thompson's eyes. That's where he was looking from the jump when he saw cover zero. So he had a plan. The plan failed, and that one's not necessarily his fault. They sent more blitzers than they had blockers. So obviously it's what cover zero entails. But all in all, man, for a four-quarter effort, you know, we knew that we were going to see a heavy dose of him based on his usage at practice on Thursday. Teddy Bridgewater had a little bit of back tightness. McDaniel said it's something that, you know, keep an eye on, because this is the first time that Teddy Bridgewater has had some back tightness this summer alone. Backs are a hard thing to get 100% healthy. So I would just keep an eye on that. I don't think that Thompson is necessarily in the running for QB2 right now. I think that he's a guy who, you know, they're going to have, like we said, they're going to have a real conversation whether or not they want to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, because I'm not.
Oh, that's going to happen.
So I'm not sure, you know, some team does want three quarterbacks on the roster. And if Miami lets him go and hopes to scoop him back up on the practice squad, it might be difficult. It might be difficult. But, I mean,
difficult. It's not difficult. It's only difficult if you're stupid enough to have wide receivers that can't help you on special teams on the back end. It's stupid to keep a third quarterback if you don't have your corners on the back end helping you out on special teams. It's stupid to keep a third quarterback if you're not going to have running backs on the back end that can help you out on special teams. It's stupid to keep a third quarterback if the back end of your tight ends can't help you out on special teams. So what they did incredibly stupid last year with Brian Flores, where they had too many players on the back end of certain positions that were not two-way players. That's why the rise of a young man on Saturday night out of nowhere, and especially on special teams, allowed him to all of a sudden get himself back into the mix, which you were commented on it on social media.
Lynn Bowden showed up. You can't control who you're lined up against. All you can control is your actions and what you do. The whole point, you ask these guys, what are you hoping to do in preseason? I've had conversations with numerous NFL players, numerous bubble players. What are you hoping to do? Man, I just got to go make a play. Lynn Bowden.
No more Albert Wilson that can't help you on special teams, and no more effing Sam Egwuavon. Nice guy. Great, great story out of the CFL. You're a one-trick pony. You can help out some on special teams, and you're an absolute liability as a linebacker. You were in the right place at the right time on Saturday night. That was all Darius Hodge, not you, dude. And on one drive, you absolutely handed a touchdown to a team by one bad play after another. And there is nothing memorable about Sam Egwuavon on the field as a linebacker in the regular season. It doesn't exist. So the valedictorian of summer school is over, bro. No more players that cannot help you in two ways. No more. Bench players.
He missed a couple critical tackles there.
He missed a couple critical tackles on a
touchdown drive.
Three plays. Yeah. Yeah.
It directly led to a Buccaneers touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah. Single handedly.
No, you can't do that. And that's something that that's something that they'll for sure watch on that. They'll bring up in the film room, and I'm sure that we'll see some tackling drills because he wasn't the only one. But I'm sure we'll see some tackling drills come Tuesday morning.
You can't have players. You can't have backup players who are liabilities one way or another. They got to be able to play running back, and they got to be able to be a flyer, a returner, whatever the hell. The corners at the back end, they got to be able to do something besides play corner. And that and so on and so forth. And that's how you can keep three quarterbacks on the roster with no problem whatsoever. But if you're going to build your roster the way you did the last couple of years under Flo, where the guys in the back end weren't flexible enough, that doesn't fly, man. That doesn't fly. And I think that's a characteristic. And I give Lynn a lot of credit because, you know, Poupart even said it earlier today. What really helped out Lynn was the returns. Because you're not going to play a lot of receiver on this team. They don't need you unless there's a lot of injuries. So, dude, can you help us out in the other area? And I thought that was huge.
It was. I mean, it was interesting to see Preston Williams line up at punt return to start the game. Doesn't really fit the mold as your prototypical punt returner. But, look, man, whatever opportunities you can get, you have to use, right? So, but didn't really make plays on the field at receiver. Like, I think you would hope for somebody who is publicly campaigning for more playing time, more reps, more opportunities. There's two more games for him to do so, but I don't think it's necessarily off to a great start. Lynn Bowden is off to a great start. The problem is, like we've been saying, the top four is set. Top four is set as far as receivers goes. The difference between
I think Sherfield's five. And all those guys are battling to see if they keep a six. But if they keep a six, you've got to be a two-way player along with Sherfield.
That's the thing, because Craycraft is a two-way player, and now Lynn Bowden has shown he's a two-way player. Where I would maybe give Bowden the edge is, again, I'd use him as a punt returner. That way you don't have to use Tyreek and Jalen. I don't care how much Tyreek Hill is lobbying to return punts. We're paying you $30 million a year. You are playing offense, and that's it, my brother.
Yeah, no, it's
you
it's
are not
only
playing special teams.
No, only desperation purposes that you need a quick score or something at the end of a half, end of a game. That's when you use Tyreek or Waddle as a weapon back there. I think you're going to use Mostert a lot more than those guys actually, if anything. Because those guys are going to run so many routes. The running backs are going to be a committee type of thing. But Lynn is also a superior athlete. And that's why the other thing you want to keep him as your sixth guy, if he continues to shine in a two-way fashion, I think it's super, super important because the other guys that we're talking about, they don't bring the versatility that this kid has. This kid has the potential to help you out in so many ways. And we all saw that from him. That he was a runner, a pass catcher, and now you see him also helping you out in the return game. So he's a kid that has a lot of talents.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, weird scenario with the Raiders. What was it, last year, his rookie year or the year before? Weird scenario in which he is drafted in the third round and then traded before training camp is even over. Like, he didn't really have much of a chance to kind of establish himself in the NFL. I think that he's starting to find his footing. He's clearly a plus. He's clearly a plus athlete. So, again, yeah, I think that gives him the edge over Craycraft. But that's no disrespect to River Craycraft, who I think has had a good training camp as well. He's been impressive.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. What's your view on what's going on at corner now with the loss of Trill Williams? I ran it by Poupart. He agreed with me. I don't think, because, you know, everybody's written about all the veteran options out there. I don't think they're going to sign a veteran. I think they're going to try to find a young guy, a developmental guy, because a veteran will be a pain in the ass. The veteran will want to play the second you bring him in. He's not going to be happy being the fourth corner and battling with Keon Crossan or something like that. You're going to inherit a problem with Joe Hayden what's the other guys?
Xavier Rhodes, Chris Harris,
Xavier Rhodes, AJ Bowie, Janoris Jenkins. All those dudes are going to complain about being a fourth corner. You're probably going to get a young guy. Do you agree or disagree on that?
It depends on how they feel about Byron Jones, because at this point, I don't really think that Byron's going to be ready for week one. If we haven't even, maybe if we see him on the field tomorrow, then we'll, you know, I'll be a little more open to the idea. But we're now less than a month away before week one, and we haven't seen him practice at all. I think that if he's not ready by that preseason game,
he only needs a couple of weeks. He only needs a couple of weeks to run around.
To come off Achilles surgery?
I mean,
I don't know about all that. I'm not saying he's going to be out for 2 months.
This wasn't,
but
wait a minute, this wasn't a complete tear.
It wasn't a complete tear, but it's been enough to keep him out since February. It was serious enough to clean up.
Yeah, but I
look, man, Achilles is Achilles and football shape is football shape. Like, you've got to get, he's got to get ready. I'm losing my faith in his availability for week one until I see him on the field. Like, he was supposed to be ready for training camp, and he's not. Yeah. We're 3 weeks into training camp, and he's not in there. I think that base who they sign and who they bring in to work out is going to say a lot about what they feel about Byron Jones' status. Mackenzie Alexander is working out with the team today. I believe that's a former first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings in, 2017, give or take? I think it was the year after they won the national title. He's kind of like right in that tweener ground. He's a vet technically, but he's still, you know, he's young enough. I don't know if he's necessarily established enough to be hot on the market, but he's a guy who, if he's your fourth cornerback, you know, I don't think he has a stake. I don't think he has a claim to the throne as a starter. You know what I'm saying? So they just need somebody who's going to hold down the fort, because look, man, Noah Igbinoghene is a good kid. You know, he says all the right things. He is nice. He is mature. He is humble. He is not ready to be an NFL starter. We're getting to a point where he's not ready to be an NFL cornerback. He hasn't made any progress.
No progress.
It's his instincts, or I guess lack thereof, are the concerning part here. And you know, when you look at that touchdown they gave up on Saturday night between him and Brandon Jones,
I still don't know who's. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know who's the call. But then again, that's a problem for both guys. You know, that's the one thing that Brandon has to work on is coverage. So it could be his mistake. And obviously Noah has been a struggle, you know, from the get-go. So that's the problem there, that if it was X and him, you would know it was him that screwed up. If it was Byron Jones and him, you would know it was him that screwed up. But the problem is we're talking about two dudes that it could easily be either guy. And we don't know what the call was. That's the thing.
It looked like cover three with the cover three beater. That's what the route that Darden ran gets you right between the corner and the safety. You send two across the field. It didn't help that Duke Riley and I think Sam Aguavon bit so incredibly hard on the play action. But if you watch, I need to watch the All-22, because watching the dots, you kind of see Brandon Jones take a step forward on the play action. And so if his job is that quarter and he plays forward on he bites on the play action and realizes, shit, it's a pass, then it kind of looked like he's scrambling. That's why he's chasing Darden across the field. Like, if he's supposed to be in the flat, I don't see why he would be on that side of the field. That's why I'm not so ready to call it a cover three. It could very well be cover four. It would explain why, you know, it would explain a little bit why Noah was playing outside leverage on Darden to start. If he expected help on the inside, it would explain why Nick Needham was, you know, rolled so far over the field. So I don't know. We don't know what the coverage is. This is why, you know, I've learned in my NFL coverage is to not jump snap to judgment on a play, because we don't know the assignment. We don't know what they're asked to do. You can think that you know, like, that's why I've had an NFL GM told me FPFF. F-word PFF, because they don't know what the F our guys are asked to do. Like, they don't know. So they're assigning grades. They could be grading on this scale when he was asked to do Y. They're grading for X and the man's asked to do Y. So they don't know what they're doing. So don't, you know, that's why PFF grades are so funny, because, like, people want to.
There we go.
So let's watch it.
Go ahead. Sean, you're teasing us.
You see how Brandon Jones is scrambling?
Yeah.
Eyes too far in the backfield. That's why I'm not positive I'm not positive. You've got Noah playing outside leverage. He runs straight back, realizes Brandon Jones is underneath, and he tries to cover over the top. I guess that would explain the cushion. That would explain the soft coverage. But, again, this is all in defense of Noah Igbinoghene, because he could very well – that could have been his man in cover three, and he's just playing too far off.
It seems to me like Noah's got the deep coverage, and he just didn't read and react right. That's all. But again,
both,
you just man.
It can be both. Like the instincts are off. It could just be a bad call. When you look at that, they had two, whoever number 10 is, they had two receivers
that were
wide open.
There's people there to make a play. So, you know, and the problem with instincts, Noah doesn't have any, because he's a receiver still trying to develop those instincts. And the only way you develop those instincts, dude, is to go out there and make a shit ton of mistakes. And then eventually the light will go on and you'll figure it out, hopefully. The problem is, how many teams have the luxury of allowing you to go out there and just play and make all kinds of mistakes? They just don't. And that's he's the kind of kid that needs the USFL. You see what I'm saying? He kind of needs to go somewhere where he would play if there was a minor league system for him. Because when you're asking for a player to change positions, and then all of a sudden they've played receiver their whole career, and now in their college career, you ask them to change a corner, it just becomes a real challenge for those kind of cats. And especially at this level, that, as you know, the guys at this level, this is the difference. They're all blessed with ability, but the guy that can be smarter than the other guy, that can think faster than the other guy, that's the guy that succeeds in this league.
You know, I'm kind of surprised why Noah hasn't either been tried out or insisted on working as a punt returner, considering he's this plus athlete, converted wide receiver. Like, you've got the speed to do it.
Right.
Figure it out. Like, yeah. Why be a gunner? Try to return. But I don't know, man. Look, he has been in hell in practice with Tyreek Hill. Jalen Darden kept him there in one-on-ones. Julio Jones kept him there in 11-on-11 last week. And then Jalen Darden brought him right back to hell in mid-game. So it's a matter of, okay, man, like, yeah, I'd understand if you're getting cooked by Tyreek Hill. I even moderately understand if you are by Julio Jones, if you're getting mossed by Julio Jones. But, like, Jalen Darden should not be giving you this type of work right now.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's a little – it's concerning for his abilities as a cornerback, man. But, like, as a person, I hate having to do this. I hate criticizing him like this, because he's such a mature, like, good – he's a good kid. He's a good dude. The instincts just don't seem to be there.
Yep. Austin Jackson, your thoughts?
I think, Omar has been saying he looks like an NFL starter, and I agree. I don't know if he's, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber starter right now, but at least he looks comfortable on the right side. He looks comfortable in what he's being asked to do in this offense. I think the wide zone is going to help the more athletic guys, and it seems to be doing that so far. They've got so many, and as I've been saying for months, this coaching staff has so much offensive line experience, so much offensive line development experience between Frank Smith and Matt Applebaum and even Lemuel Jean-Pierre, who's a former NFL lineman and can now take kind of a step back, you know, from being the guy, from being the position coach. Because I've talked to guys about Lem, and, you know, I think his value is in the chemistry that he brings. His value is in, you know, how he can relate to players and how they confide in him and this and that. I don't know if he was that good of a position coach, but as an assistant coach right now, as he learns, he's got value on this team. So Austin Jackson has been far improved. This line in general has been much improved. They struggled to run block last week, and that kind of showed up on game day as well. But Tampa sold out to stop the run a little bit, and that is their forte. So you can only read so far into it.
So did you pick up drinking? Did you start doing cocaine? What kind of hard drugs are you doing now that you actually watch Larnell Coleman become a serviceable player?
Who said he was a serviceable player? I think he's their swing tackle by default right now, because it's between him and
Greg. Hey, he did a good job after the sack. After the sack, he did a good job the rest of the night.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
What?
I don't know. He's
you're not going to give him any love at least.
He's the swing tackle by default.
He didn't play bad on Saturday night. He did all right on Saturday night.
He didn't play bad. He didn't play great. Like he's not like one of my stars.
He didn't play like Larnell Coleman.
You know, it's one of those where, you know, if you're not talking about offensive linemen, they're probably doing it all right. They're probably doing okay.
Right.
Hey, so we didn't talk about it for most of the night.
On the touchdown to the right side of Skyler threw, he was the key tackle on that pass rush. He guided that guy right outside and kept him away from Skyler. Skyler could step into the pocket and unload and throw the touchdown. So I'm just saying, I got to give Larnell has been so terrible. He never even looked like he resembled an NFL lineman. The guys actually look serviceable. And against Tampa, he ended up winning all his one-on-ones that one day. It was like he's doing things that you never saw Larnell Coleman do. Give him a little love, bro. Come on. You're a meanie.
Good coaching and the Teron Armstead effect, you know?
You're a meanie.
I loved that play call, though, from McDaniel. Right off the turnover, plus territory. Be aggressive, take a shot down the field, and it worked out. I like that. You know, as a play caller, I thought that Mike McDaniel showed us some chops yesterday or Saturday.
You're a mean individual. Yeah. Poor young man is working his ass off. Yeah. You're constantly ripping Larnell Coleman. And now that he plays a little bit, Marcel can't give him a little love for showing the edge.
Hey, look. I think this is the first time I've ever talked about Larnell Coleman, to be fair.
All right. So give me a name that caught your eye and you're saying that guy should make this team or might make this team. Who is it?
I mean, same guy that I mentioned a few days ago, Tanner Connor, man. Clocked him at 20.88 miles per hour. The guy can move at tight end. That's the speed that they're looking for. Showed a little yak ability. Forced the penalty by getting downfield on kickoff so fast. So we know he plays special teams. I'm telling you, man, he is a guy who, if they take three tight ends, like, it's going to have to be a decision between Hunter Long and Tanner Connor. Like, I know they're going to have to eat a little bit of money, I believe, if they let go of Hunter Long. But I think Tanner Connor's got some crazy upside here. And I think that he might fit the system a little better than Mike Gesicki, who, you know, who knows? You know, I know Omar has floated this idea before of Gesicki for Roquan Smith. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I also don't think that Gesicki.
They don't need a tight end, bro. They don't need a tight end.
Wow. They have like nine tight ends in that.
Right, and they have nine tight ends in that room. Cole, whatever guy, he's actually a decent tight end. Not this incredible. Yeah, that guy, he's fine. They have tight ends, so it's that's not a trade that'll work out whatsoever. Yeah,
I don't agree with that trade specifically, but you know, I wouldn't be totally stunned if Gesicki was traded, just because he's not exactly a hand and glove fit in this scheme.
I agree with that. I can see him being traded.
And in that case, then they would probably roll out with Smythe, Long, and Tanner Connor.
I think in a perfect world, they're going to wait to trade Gesicki more towards the trading deadline. They want to find out what they have, if they can make him a blocker, play him throughout the season, because he's a pass catcher. But the thing that you did bring up with Tanner Connor that's interesting is it's a theme from the whole team. It's, okay, McDaniel got there and said, wow, this team's slow. And Chris Greer is like, yeah. So let's go add some speed. And Tyreek and Cedric's actually fast for a big slot guy. He's got some speed. Then they added Mostert and they added Chase to add speed there. And now all of a sudden they see this Tanner Connor kid, who's a converted wide receiver to tight end, ran track and all that. So now they're looking to add speed to that dimension of that position. That is the theme of this entire offseason. Add speed everywhere and anywhere you can on offense.
Add speed, go fast. There's a clip of Mike McDaniel from F1 that I know is going to be brought up multiple times this season, where he's like, go faster, You need to go faster. That's my only coaching note. That's his team in a nutshell. Faster.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and one of the things I talked about on Saturday after the game, the fortunate thing is you have a quick twitch athlete in Tua. Tua's a guy that can decipher quickly, and he proved it last two years after behind no line and no running game, he had to make quick decisions. Now he will make quick decisions that are favorable to him on a consistent basis because you will not be able to stay with all that speed on the field. There's going to be a mismatch on every down somewhere, and Tua is going to find that mismatch and take advantage of it. So the fact that you have a guy that doesn't hold on to the ball, pat, 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 looking around, this is a guy that can look quickly and decipher quickly and deliver quickly, is a plus to having all this speed on the field. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, speed creates a mismatch because you can't necessarily scheme around it. You know what I mean? You can think to be in the right place at the right time. The Bills were in the right place at the right time with 13 seconds left. Tyreek's just faster than them. So you can have the perfect play call. It doesn't matter when you have a game breaker. And this offense is full of game breakers.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you there. All right. Cameron Good. Why would you keep Mr. CFL? Cameron Good looks to me like the kind of guy. 2 7th round picks, Skyler and Cameron Good, making an impact and earning a roster spot on this team.
Yeah, it just speaks to the scouting department, right? Their college scouting department, the fact that they could still find quality in the 7th round. You know, he, I believe, is the 7th in history, in Cal's history in sacks. Like, we knew that he had pass rush talent. He's going to be cheaper. He's younger, more malleable, I guess, than Sam Egwuregbun. It's going to be a battle. It's a battle to watch. It's a battle to watch. But either way, I think that Good is somebody that you can stash on the practice squad. I'm not sure if Egwuregbun is, so it depends on how highly they value Sam Egwuregbun.
I disagree with you. I don't think you're going to be able to hide Cameron Good on the practice squad. I think that's a guy you have to keep on your active roster. He takes Egwuregbun's space, is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't think Sam Egwuregbun makes this team. I think a guy like Cameron Good is going to be on the back end. And you just answered it right there. You already knew he can play on the line. Well, guess what? He can also help you out at linebacker. So the fact that he can play two ways, and if he can help you out on special teams, then all of a sudden you got yourself, you know, a pretty versatile player.
And versatility is always going to get you the nod unless you're a bona fide superstar. You know, if you're on the roster bubble, versatility always gets you the nod. So two games left, you know, still several practices left to go. Can't wait to see that joint practice with the Eagles in a couple of weeks. Just, you know, increased adversity. Response to adversity is really important to Mike McDaniel. I asked him about it last week. So how you respond in adverse situations, I want to see Good. I want to see Good keep his head when his back's against the wall a couple more times this summer. And then we'll see if, you know, I give him a nod. I got to turn in a 53-man roster pretty soon here anyway. So, you know, I'm still personally undecided.
Finest energy drink on the planet is Edge Energy Drink. Go to myedgedrink.com. Use our code Big O. You will get 10% off. You cannot get it in a store. You got to order it online, and we deliver it right to your home. So go to myedgedrink.com. That's myedgedrink.com. And use my code Big O to get 10% off. All right. What are you working on over on ESPN so folks can check you out, my friend?
Yeah, I'm about to take Jake Paul one-on-one. We're about to go run routes on the field. I'm going to post that. I'm just fucking with Jay. I'm not. Getting ready for practice tomorrow. Still got a grand piece. I can tell you that the focus is to it, the one I've been working on. That's what's coming. This was a good this is going to go a long way. My conversations today are going to go a long way toward that story. So looking forward to getting that nailed, like hammered out. Writing about cornerbacks coming up this week. That should be coming out either Wednesday or Thursday. And from there, it's more reactive, man. We'll see. We'll write as the stories come along. as always. Love that football season is back. I don't care if it's preseason football. It's better than speculation. So I love being able to talk about things that we've actually seen.
All right, there you go. And follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ and catch him twice a week here with our Edge Energy Drink Miami Dolphins Insider Report. And remember, myedgedrink.com. Use our code Big O and get 10% off. Delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. Edge Energy Drink. Marcel, as always, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. See y'all Thursday.
You got it. There you go. You got the edge.
You now have the edge on the Miami Dolphins with the Edge Energy Drink Miami Dolphins Report featuring ESPN's Marcel Louis-Jacques. Get the energy drink that's delicious and smooth with zero aftertaste. You can only order Edge Energy Drink at myedgedrink.com. That's myedgedrink.com.
Alrighty. Thank you all out there as always, keeping it locked here on Le Programme. If you want to get in on the Welt and Raum text line, 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the Welt and Raum text line, you can also reach out to us on Twitter. That's at Big O Show. Follow us there as always. A lot of things to talk about there on the Twitter page. You saw the Zach Wilson injury. So he's got the bone bruise and obviously the meniscus tear, and he had a little bit of a scope. And so he's not going to miss a ton of time, and he'll get back. And it was a non-contact deal, which this could happen to anyone at any time. It could happen to you and me just getting in and out of our cars. Okay? It could happen going down the stairs. It was just one of those freakish things. It's cringeworthy. Look, I'm not wishing anything bad on the kid. Okay, I know that it's the Jets, and I can't stand the Jets, and I don't wish injury on players. I don't care if you're even a Jet fan. That's just not cool. That's not my thing. But it is something to use as an example that you got to play the game. And in Zach's case, he has to play. He's raw. He's made a ton of mistakes. He needs playing time. So no one should question the head coach for playing him when the kid needs a ton of playing time. He's just too raw at this point. So that was the smart thing to play him. It was just bad luck to lose him. It's just like the Trill Williams thing. Trill's not proven himself. Let's not act like, oh my God, he's done. He's the guy. No, he's shown a lot of potential, but he hasn't really put it all together, and we haven't seen it, so you got to play him. And I know he was playing in the second half, but he's a guy that still needs reps, needs experience, and unfortunately, he suffers an injury that freaking sucks, dude. But it is part of the game. It's called football. It's a tough sport. It's tough on you physically, and you have bad. I saw Ed Perry blow out his knee, jogging off the field, stepping on the separation between the grass and the baseball diamond. I'm standing there on the sidelines, and Ed Perry's running off the field. I've told this story before, but the other way around. I talk about how Ed Perry's a tough son of a bitch, that he blew out his ligament, and then he went in. They needed him to snap for an extra point. With a blown knee ligament, he went out there and snapped it on a dime. But that's not what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is the guy, I'm standing on the sidelines, and he comes running off the field, and he blows out his knee ligament because he stepped right there in between the diamond and the thing. And then that twisted his foot a little, and that right there blew out his knee ligament, his ACL. He's jogging, he blows it out, and then he kind of like slows down his jog. He ends up And he looks at his trainer and says, hey, man, I feel something in my knee. And the trainer goes and looks at his knee, and he's like, yeah, I think you might have blown your knee ligament. And within seconds, they're like, yo, Ed, we need you out here. And the dude goes jogging out there with a blown knee ligament to go make the snap. It's football, man. It sucks. You lose guys with contact. You lose guys with non-contact. Ed went on the IR right after that. After that game, he went on the IR. But at the moment, he can make the snap. How awesome is that? How awesome is Ed Perry? He blew out his knee ligament. He's like, yeah, no, you need me? Yeah, no problem. Let's go. Ed used to do something really cool. When he would warm up, he would grab the ball, right, with two hands like this, and he'd throw it like that. Because it was kind of the snapping motion, right? Same thing, but he'd do it long distance. And it'd come out like a dart. And it was like two hands. Like, you know, he'd spin it and throw it at you. It wasn't like a regular throw. It was like something that he would practice because it had to do with his snapping. And so it was something that he would practice and boom, boom. And it was just like a bolt that would come out directly to whoever was on the other side that he would throw the ball to. It was one of those things that he would practice, you know, little things that these guys do in order to kind of, you know, keep sharp. And Ed Perry was just an absolute monster when it came to long snapping. Man, he was just money all the way. Perfect Q says, Big O, with all the pass interference calls coming, would you want to see the penalty change to 15 yards like in college? Oh, it all depends, my brother. It all depends on the penalty, the kind of penalty, when it happened. I don't mind the spot of the ball for the foul because, you know, sometimes you'll do a dirty foul down there and you're only going to give up 15 yards. So, no. You know, that's the thing. You can use that to your advantage. And that's something you've got to avoid. So, it all depends. What else do we have here on the text line? Bucks fans were so high on Kyle Trask as a replacement for Brady when he retires. Saturday, they learned he ain't the guy. Dougie Fresh, oh, have you watched the Woodstock 99 documentary? Holy hell, yeah, I did. I talked about it. What was it, last week or the week before? I think it was. I talked about it. It's freaking crazy. I saw it a few weeks back, and it was crazy, man. Sean's already watched it twice. I don't know how those people survived. I would have never been able to survive. I would have left. I would have walked back to my car and hauled ass. Probably would have done that. Did someone get injured from walking down the stairs? Yeah, one of us. You know, David Bowens once injured a knee ligament changing a light bulb. Can happen at any time. That's why anybody that complains about Zach Wilson, it's ridiculous. You complain about Trill Williams, it's ridiculous. They got to play. And unfortunately, it's part of the game and it sucks. That's why I always tell you when you ask me about like predictions, and I tell you, well, let's wait till the end of the preseason. Let's make sure, let's see who's survived. Okay. Breaking: Rangers have relieved Chris Woodward of managerial duties, according to a person with direct knowledge of the situation, according to Evan Grant of the Dallas Morning News. So he go. Well, we love to do something when sports and business collide. There's a little sum that we have on this show, and it is called, where we'll be on Friday, by the way, in Doral. They have three offices in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. It's the KSDT CPA Sports Business Report. Things in Washington are getting worse. No, no, it's not the new bill that they just passed to spend a ton of money. No, 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 no. It's not that one. That's bad enough as it is. The Washington Commanders, other problems in Washington, will probably have to add dwindling attendance to their lengthy list of troubles this season. Tickets to the team's Saturday preseason opener against the Panthers were reportedly selling for as low as $1 on the secondary platform Game Time. This is despite the fact that there's a quarterback battle, this is the part I love, in Carolina between incumbent Sam Darnold and recently acquired Baker Mayfield, an intriguing storyline that could draw fans. Really? Seriously, who's the effing idiot going, I got to buy a ticket, bro. I got a Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. That's one of the great battles of all time, dude. Are you kidding me? That's worth the price of attendance right there to go watch those two guys battle to start for Carolina and see who's the idiot that's going to win five games and get pummeled. Everything seems to be trending downward for the Washington franchise. In 06, they were the most valuable in all of American sports. Last season, the team had by far the lowest attendance in percentage by 64%. That's 31st. Lions were second. Lions had it at number one at 79.9. And then, of course, owner Dan Snyder and his front office are under federal investigation for a toxic work environment, as well as financial improprieties related to withholding ticket revenue that is meant to be shared with other teams. Nobody's going to training camps. There's just a couple of people there. They don't want to go to the games. They keep tarping off more and more of the second level of the stadium. I mean, it is bad, brother. And we are talking about what used to be, like the Dolphins, NFL royalty, because we fell off that perch too. All right. All these clown head coaches and GMs that we've had the last 25 years destroyed everything that Shula built. We were one of the royalty franchises in the NFL, no longer. And the Washington Redskins were also one of the royalty franchises in the NFL, and no longer. Washington and Miami are no longer royalty. They are the dregs of the society. They have to earn their way back. But, I mean, as far as Miami's fallen, Washington's gone even farther with that owner. That dude is just disgusting at every level. And look how bad it's... Let me tell you, I'm not a Skins fan or anything like that, but I admired the Washington Redskins. Like, you admire the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you admire the franchises that do things right for a long time. That's stuff that you have to admire. And it happens in all kinds of sports. There are teams that just, they do things the right way overall. And then it also translates to success on the field too, or pitch, or ice, or whatever it is that they play in. And the Redskins were one of those franchises that, man, you had mad respect for decades because of Joe Gibbs, just like for us, Don Shula. And once we lost those guys, and once the Washington Redskins also were owned by Dan Snyder, it has just gone down and down and down. And it is sad. It is. It's a sad thing when you see what was a great franchise get destroyed this way. I feel bad for the fan bases because this is why I'm so pissed at Bruce Beal and Stephen Ross, because yeah, you're the owners and you have money and all that stuff, but dude, you're also custodians. You're entrusted. This is, I get it, it's a business. You want to make money and you want to print money, and God bless you, dude. You made it to this point in your life. You can buy a football team and you can enjoy the profits, but you're also, you have a responsibility to the community to uphold a standard, to represent with some kind of a standard. And a guy like Snyder has failed in every way, shape, and possible how to represent that community and that incredible fan base. And it's the same thing that's happened here with the Dolphins. Now, thank God, you know, this guy isn't as bad as Snyder, but they've done stupid things that are unacceptable. And just gets to the point where if you're going to buy a team, I get it. You got to make money. God bless you, man. It's a business. I totally understand. But you do have a responsibility. You are representing a community. And you are representing people that actually care about the team. They invest their money. They invest their emotions. They're passionate. The life's blood of the Redskins has been sucked out by Snyder. There are fans that probably cannot root for the team anymore because of that guy. And it pains them. But they can't support a pig like that. You owe people a responsibility when you buy a team. And that guy never came. Look at it, man. People aren't going to see Redskins games. I never, ever. You tell me 30 years ago, oh, dude, let me tell you, in 30 years, the Redskins are going to be a total joke. Nobody's going to be going to their games. They're going to be tarping off everything. Nobody wants to see them at training camp. I would have told you, get the hell out of here, dude. Have you ever watched that fan base? They're fanatical about their team. That's how bad that guy is. That's how bad he is, that he has killed the emotion for that fan base for their team. And Stephen Ross and Bruce Beal, you know, it gets to the point where you start sucking the life out of everybody. And when we lose a first and a third rounder as a fan base, that sucks the life out of you, man. I just wish these owners would understand that you have more than a responsibility of winning and making money. You owe it to your fan base, to your community, to buy the team, but represent it the right way. That's your KSDT CPA Sports Business Report.
This has been the KSDT Sports Business Report. KSDT CPA is one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT is recognized by Forbes as one of the top tax and accounting firms for 2022. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit online at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
Frankie Fresco put Commanders or Panthers? No, is it the Commanders are playing the Panthers? So what they were saying is that the game becomes that much more intriguing for fans because the Carolina Panthers have two quarterbacks battling for it. So you would want to buy the tickets even more, which is a joke. Like, Washington's unwatchable, and why would you want to watch Carolina? You know, that's kind of the whole joke of it there. Eddie Lepp says, I used to live there. Tickets were tough to get. Sad. Yeah, no, there was a waiting list of decades to get tickets. Now, remember, when it was RFK, Eddie, back then it was only 55,000 seats. RFK was not a big stadium. RFK was in the era of the big stadiums. All right, the 70-plus stadiums, because we had it down here. It's funny how we had a stadium that was way too big for our market, right? The Orange Bowl was way too big for our market. It was so hard to sell out. You know what I mean? We're not New York. We don't have that kind of attendance and all that history and all that stuff. So it's hard. And then now they've kind of now taking out the corners of the new stadium. You took out about 15,000 seats. So it makes it way more manageable now for Miami. But yeah, that's tough. Nelson says, I'm not sold on the O-line. Bucks front seven was completely out, and they should have been more dominant against backups. Three starters in there on the O-line. They also still did a pretty good job overall without Teron Armstead and Connor Williams, which would have helped them out too. Larnell Coleman, after giving up that sack, Nelson, actually did a pretty good job, man. He had that terrible sack early on, and then after that, he did all right. No one, Nelson, I don't think anyone has said they're convinced of the O-line. No one. Now, are there positives? Yeah. Austin Jackson has played better than he ever has so far. Larnell Coleman has done more in 1 week than he has his entire year plus that he's been on the roster. So we do have to say that there are some bright spots. But are they, should you be sold? None of us should be sold. Nothing's proven yet. Okay. The other thing I will add is what I said on Saturday, and I'll say it again here. They were organized overall. It didn't look dysfunctional. It didn't look like they were making all kinds of mistakes constantly. They were out of place. Nowhere on offense, defense, special teams. There weren't a bunch of mistakes out there. So I got to give also the coaching staff for coaching a pretty clean game with a whole bunch of players that aren't necessarily your starters or even guys that are going to be on your team in 2 weeks. So I'm with you that, you know, you're not sold. No one should be sold. But let's point out that there has been some progress, and that's what counts. So yeah, nobody expected a finished product right now. The finished product should happen sometime during the regular season, if there's one. When do they start making cuts? Tomorrow, five of them. 90 to 85. And then the next one is 53. So it's just one small cut here. And then that'll be tomorrow by 4:30. So you'll see them cut five people. And then they'll add one more, you know, down the line when they've got to go all the way down to 53. They keep everybody else. RFK is still here near where I live. They didn't tear down RFK? Are you serious? What do they use it for? Because it costs money to maintain those things. A lot of money to maintain those things. What the hell? What happened to RFK? Somebody had to have purchased it, right? It just can't be some white elephant sitting there. They didn't implode RFK? Wow. I didn't know that. Okay. McDaniels on the sidelines looked the part, unlike Flo, who looked lost. The O-line will need attention well into the next season, but this season we'll see improvement with coaching alone. Let's hope so. Big O question for you. Your favorite one, I bet. 80s photo, Phoebe Cates or 80s Elizabeth Shue? What's your choice to have Edge energy drink and Sports Grill wings? Ha ha, just for a laugh. Well, I am. From here up, give me Elizabeth Shue. From here down, give me Phoebe Cates. Is that cool? Okay. I think Elizabeth Shue is beautiful, man. Like, I think she is just astoundingly beautiful. Okay. I'm a big Elizabeth Shue fan. But Phoebe Cates is also not just gorgeous, but she had a great body too, on top of all of that. So I have to go Phoebe Cates whole package. From here up, love Elizabeth Shue. She is, man. QAM filing for bankruptcy. Yeah, Odyssey will file. I don't know if they filed it yet, but they're expected to file for bankruptcy. But I told you guys that over a year ago. That was, you know. We give you predictions here, you know. We'll tell you that a head coach is going to get fired in the middle of a of a winning streak. These are things that we do. What can I tell you? A year before he was hired, I said, you got to hire Chris Greer, fire Adam Gase and Mike Tannenbaum. And it happened. I don't know what to tell you, bro. I can't explain it. You know, I said they got to fire Dale Tallon. They fired him. Nobody had the balls to say it. I said they got to trade Jonathan Huberdeau to go get a star. These are things you get on the show, you just don't get anywhere else. Just saying, there's a track record.
Is Elizabeth Shue still looks good at her for her age? Yes, she does. Yes, she does. English chick from Weird Science. It's Kelly LeBrock, dude. Yes, Kelly LeBrock is gorgeous. Back in those days. Yes. I work for a university near RFK. It's scheduled to be demolished in 2023. Wow. Why has it lasted so long? Were they playing football there or something? Did they have a UFL team there or something like that? Halle Berry's birthday was yesterday. A beautiful 56-year-old woman. Yeah, no, she is perfection, bro. The Lord, when they made Halle Berry, it was like that was strong, man. Strong. So yep, I'm with you there. Oh, DC United played there, but they don't play there anymore. They haven't played there in years. So, but my point is, what the hell does that stadium do? Because they don't use it for anything. Unless you tell me that they're doing concerts there, or there's a minor league team, or a university plays there, or something. But it costs a lot of money to upkeep that stuff. So I'm just, that's why I ask. You know, it's just there, no activity. Wow. Okay. So it's just become one giant crack den. That's what you're telling me. Worst stadium I've ever been to is Jacksonville. Altel or whatever it's called now. It's not a bad stadium. I've been there. That's not a bad stadium. That's not fair. Brother, the Orange Bowl was bad. You know? Compared to some of the other stadiums that I've been to in my lifetime, that one's not bad. I mean, it's not state of the art. I get it, but you're in Jacksonville, my brother. What more you want from that guy? Poor Shad Khan. I don't know why he made that purchase. I really don't. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What else do we have here? Oh, and congratulations to Inter Miami over New York City FC 3-2. Pozuelo with 2 goals. They've got the 7th spot in the playoffs, man. That's going to be pretty cool if they can earn. They have 8-9 games left. Plenty of time to solidify that spot and maybe even climb. And they're now starting to all get healthy. And Higuain is playing like I never thought he could. Okay? And in one of the goal this weekend on the Lassiter goal, did you notice we had a guy that was bent over like on the floor on the corner of the box? Like we're on offense and we're watching our boys try to score. And they were playing with 10 men, or 9, because obviously the goalie's back there hanging out. But we had a guy, I forgot who the hell it was, but he was bent over, hurting, injured, and there's Lassiter ripping and scoring that goal. That was nice. That was good. That was good. Let me tell you, Inter Miami, they've been fun to watch all season. The young team now has been a lot of fun to watch. But now that they've added certain skill sets to this team, very cool. Very cool.
Very cool. Chris Henderson. Real GM taking over, man. I love it. I love it. All right, we are out of here. Let's thank, of course, Sean Stanley, the man that puts it all together, getting it done. The C-Man, also along for the ride. We thank Ira Winderman, Alan Poupart, and Marcel-Louis Jacques. We thank all of you for tuning in. We shall see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a great one.